Today, we're shifting from talking about the fundamental concepts and principles that will help you build relationships to the how. Aren't you excited to get to the how? My goal here is to keep this as simple and succinct as possible so that you can leave here with tangible things to try and then return to when the relationship feels like maybe it's struggling again. I want to remind you, every relationship has conflict, and even when we're using our best skills and working our hardest to strengthen a relationship, there is still going to be struggle. That's normal, that's healthy, and learning how to navigate that is what helps us become even closer. Be conscious and aware of not getting derailed in those difficult moments, thinking that maybe this isn't working or my efforts aren't worth it. That's not true. What is true is that in those moments when you feel the strain, if you will return to these basic principles frequently, you will progress. If you get curious and wonder what patterns are sneaking in that maybe I haven't even realized, what's happening beneath the surface that maybe I don't know about? And as you collect information, use that information to then guide you in making small adjustments. When we continue to make small adjustments and return to the task of trying again and again, our relationships grow stronger and we're able to navigate the hard times together in a way that supports us, in a way that doesn't undermine and make things even more difficult. The heart's still going to be there, but we're going to be able to travel through it in a way that is more peaceful and more connected. And that is what we're after here. Now, I do want to invite you to be mindful of a couple things. First of all, you don't ever have to do anything perfect. So if I throw out an idea and it feels a little clunky to you, or the words don't feel like they fit, or you're not sure how it's going to work for your family, give it a try. And if it still just feels a little hard or rough, maybe just give yourself permission to practice. It doesn't have to be smooth and perfect every time. I think you'll be surprised when the effort is extended, our kids typically react in kind and they recognize that we are making an effort to be closer to them and to see and acknowledge them. Take the ideas that I share today and make them your own. Infuse your personality and your greatness into these things. I will caution you to watch out for sarcasm. Regardless of its intent, even if it's humor, sarcasm does not build relationships, and it will undermine and hurt the efforts that you are making to grow closer to a child. Criticism and fixing also not super helpful. So just be mindful and watch. Are sarcasm, criticism, and fixing a part of my regular interactions with my child? If so, I need to lay those down and I'm going to give you some things to pick up instead and try. So one of the first things that we can do is take advantage of what is already established in our home. Every single day, each one of us has greeting points or contact points within our family. Moments where we see one another or pass one another and have quick, brief engagements. Think of waking up in the morning, walking into the kitchen for the first time, coming home from work, going to school. Those are the times that I'm talking about. Even if you haven't seen a kiddo in an hour or two and then you walk into a different part of the house, this would also apply to those situations. Now, if for some reason you don't have a daily greeting with your child because you're in a long distance relationship or your work schedule doesn't allow you to be there for the comings and goings of the day, or maybe you have a split family and your kids aren't with you all the time, this is a time to get creative and see where you can apply these principles in a different way with the same intent behind them. Maybe through a text or a phone call, the same ideas can still be practiced. So when we talk about using these greeting points and these touch points, the purpose and idea is that we have the opportunity to greet them, and we want to do so with joy and a welcoming, happy spirit. It's simple. Hey, so good to see you. Good morning. Oh, love that face. Happy to have you come and sit by me. Come here. Something that feels natural to you, but the greeting is one that communicates love, gentleness, and a joy to see that person. Think of how often we start our days. Get up, get out of bed. Come on, we're running late. Oh, finally, you're in here. Get your lunch. Get your backpack. Do you have your homework? Do you have everything you need to be? Oh, I'm so glad you're home. We have this tonight at 7. We have this tonight at 8. So I need you to make sure you get everything done here. Will you come help me with that? Did you take the trash out? That is too often how our conversations go. Or they go like this. Radio silence as we pass by each other. And I have parents often describe it as ships passing in the night. We don't even really connect and use the time that we have. And so this first invitation is simple. Greet with joy and with happiness. These are times that are already existing. You don't have to do anything to create them. So take advantage of them and make them count. Don't leave the opportunity on the table. I have seen this be so impactful in the relationships we have with friends of my children. I, along with my husband, have been very intentional. When a kiddo walks through our door, they are greeted and welcomed. Hey, look who's here. So glad to have you. Come on in. Ah, look who's coming through that door. Good to see you. And I have watched time and time again as their faces light up and they enter with more confidence and with more comfort the next time they come over. And it has developed into a good portion of these kids just knowing they are welcome in our home and they can walk through that door at any given time, whether our kids are home or not. And we've had that happen. And we've had these kids reach out to us when they need support or guidance making a decision. And so something as simple as making them feel welcome is laying the foundation and sending the message that you care, that you see them, they're on your radar and they matter to you. So use these tiny areas of contact and greeting to make an impact. Now, of course, none of us is going to be perfect, so don't be too hard on yourself. And you're not going to catch it every single time. That is not the expectation. But when you can, make these moments count. The second area I'd like to invite you to begin paying close attention to is how we respond when our kids come to us with information. Sometimes that information is trivial. It's just things that are of no interest to us. Other times it's critical information or information the child is excited about, and it might even be bad news that they're bringing. So with all of the types of information that we are hit with, we want to begin noticing how we respond. And I took a class recently from a gentleman by the name of Justin Sua, and he introduced this to me, and I thought it was worth sharing with you here. I hadn't heard it framed quite like this, but he said, typically we respond to people in one of four ways, and only one of those ways builds relationship. So the first is that we ignore. We just don't even really give the time of day. The second is that we respond in a way that is one-upping. Third is that we're a joy thief. And the last one, we are a joy multiplier. So let's break each one of those down. First, ignoring. How often do you have a child come with you and maybe you're even in the middle of a task or distracted yourself and they're talking to you? And I know I have sat there and all of a sudden been like, wait, what did you say? I have no idea what you just told me. And it happens without us even realizing it. Or they come in, we're excited and they get it. Just a minute. Not right now. Hey, I need just a second. And we move on and we don't ever circle back and connect with them. So we want to be mindful. Are we ignoring our children even unintentionally when they bring information to us? Are we looking up, making eye contact, coming back to those greetings so that when they share that information, we are there to receive it? Now, I'll tell you right now, if throughout this little brief segment you find yourself feeling guilty for any of these things, you're not alone. We're all guilty of these things at one time or another. And what a great opportunity it is to become aware so that you can begin making adjustments and invite a new dynamic into the relationship that you have. So number two is being the one-upper. And this is a little bit more subtle and sneaky, but it can come in when maybe our kid starts telling us about something that's hard or difficult. And we reply with, oh, you think that's hard? Just wait until you're an adult. Or, oh man, that teacher, I had a teacher in college who was just like that and they did this. And we begin sharing our life experiences with them. And I think the desire is to connect, but what we end up doing is dismissing what they have shared and kind of one-upping it. So be mindful of that. The third one is that we're a joy thief. Now, I am guilty of this when it comes to my kids' adventures. I have to be really mindful. And this is when a kid comes to us and shares excitement and energy, and we just suck the life out of it. So a good example is I have pretty adventurous kiddos, and whenever they come up to me with a plan, instantly my brain is flooded with everything that can go wrong, all the ways they could get hurt, and my natural instinct is to have my first response be, oh, no way. Have you thought about this? No, you'll totally die out there. No way you're doing that. That's a terrible idea. Have you thought about all the things that are going to happen? Let me tell you. And then I line item all the reasons their idea is a bad plan. Well, guess what? That is never, ever going to build a relationship. And it doesn't mean that my thoughts are irrational. It doesn't mean that the things I'm talking about need to be ignored. What it means is I need to learn how to time and temper my comments. So I need to temper my comments and learn when it is right to share them. So let me give you an example. I had a kid come home recently and he decided he wanted to build a foundry in our backyard. A foundry, what is that, you might ask? It's a way to melt metal. And I thought it was an obviously terrible idea, but he was excited about it. And as he started to talk, every bell and whistle was going off in my head, from toxic fumes to our house burning down to why do you need to bother? Who needs to melt metal? What are you going to do with the melted metal? There was no good I could see. And if I listen to every one of those thoughts and respond in the moment, I am being a joy thief. But I have a choice. I can listen and I can engage and be a joy multiplier when I choose to engage in meaningful conversation with curiosity. So when this child comes to me and says, I'm going to build a foundry in the backyard, I can say, wow, what's that? Ooh, sounds curious. So why do you want to do this? What have you learned about this? Tell me what you know. Oh, you watched a YouTube video. Cool. How did they do it? Can I watch the video with you? None of this gives the project a green light. None of this says you get to do whatever you want. And none of it's going to dismiss the concerns that I have. But in that initial moment, I am multiplying the joy and I am choosing to be present and engaged with my child. When we do that, we get more information and we lay a very powerful foundation. We lay a foundation of openness. And when they have something to share, they know we're not going to shoot it down. They learn in all of these small interactions that I am interested in things that are important to them. And so they are more willing to come and share pieces of their life with us. So those were the four things. We want to be mindful of ignoring, one-upping, and being a joy thief. And we want to, wherever we can, become a joy multiplier by leading with curiosity and engaging in a meaningful conversation with them. Another thing I want you to be watchful for are your initial reactions. Now, it might sound really similar to what we were just talking about, but so often when we are met with bad news or something unexpected, we as adults have a big reaction. And we have to do better at learning to tame that big reaction. And I'm going to include a link here for a podcast episode to explain a little bit of what might be happening in your brain during those moments. Taming our initial response and learning not to react in a big and angry or high emotion way becomes critical. Because when we continually react, what our kids learn is that we are not safe to approach with big information. And so when they need help, when they need support, when they want guidance, if they don't think it fits in something that is pleasing to me, then they are less likely to ask for my support and engagement in that area of their life. We want to be engaged so that we can guide and influence our children. And so when we learn to bite our tongues and say, hey, this is really big. I can't quite figure out how to respond right now. I need a minute. And I get myself out the door and I go call a friend, yell in a pillow, you know, write an angry letter, do something to move the emotion on my part, and then come back to the kiddo. What I have done is I have put a huge deposit into this relationship, and I have shown my child that come rain or shine, I am able to navigate myself in a way that I will stand by you. And that is really important for kids to see and experience over and over again. And that's not to say that if I lose my cool, they're never going to come to me. Not at all. But I need to be making an effort to keep my cool so that I can become a trusted source for them. It's not an all or nothing game. It really isn't. So I encourage you to keep working on that. And we've got all kinds of resources to help you do that. I'm not going to dive in much deeper here, but that first response matters. I'm reminded of a time when a young kiddo came in to me and said, "Mom, we had the best time. We dug this huge hole in the yard." And what? You dug this what? Huge hole in the yard? Instantly, I want to react and say, "You did what? You dug a hole in the yard? Why would you do that?" And storm out back and look at the yard and begin demanding that they fill the hole in and tell them how ridiculous this idea was. And I can't believe they were so disrespectful to our property. That is going to be a very common reaction for many of us. However, let me ask you, does it change anything? The hole's still there. The problem didn't move because I got mad. The only thing that happened is I made a deep cut in that relationship. And I showed that kid that I valued the grass or the yard or the whatever where that hole was more than their experience and trusting their ability to fix it. So in that initial response, again, I have a choice to make. When they come to me and say, "Hey, we had the best time. We dug this hole in the yard." I might go, "Whoa, you dug a hole? Yeah, we dug this hole. Tell me about the hole." "Well, we were out back and we were bored. And so we thought, I wonder how big of a hole we can dig." Real conversations, guys. And we just started digging. "Well, hey, let's go out back and look at that hole." Am I excited? No. Am I thrilled? No. Am I squeezing my hands behind my back? Yeah. Trying not to lose my mind? Yeah. And when I get out to the backyard, the hole is there, and I have a minute to be listening to their chatter, and then I can say, "Wow, so look at that hole. Man, have you thought about what we're going to do with that hole? How are you going to fix that? That's not going to work for our yard. What's your plan now? Have you thought about that?" And that opens the door for a constructive problem-solving conversation that is going to help build and increase the level of trust within our relationship. First responses matter. Now you might be wondering, what if I really don't care about what they're talking about? Or what if I'm not going to let them do whatever idea they're sharing with me? That's fine. You don't have to care and you don't have to approve of every idea that comes out of your child's mouth to build a relationship. But I know that you care about that child. And so our efforts here are to communicate that care to our child and help them see that we value them, their ideas, and we're willing to listen and hear their perspective. We may not agree. We may not come to the same conclusion, but I am willing to see and hear them. And that is a vital aspect and piece of strong relationships. And if a kid brings bad news to you and you're really overwhelmed, it's okay to claim that and identify it. Say, "Wow, this is really big. Can you tell me more? I'm not going to comment right now. I'm just going to listen." And we take information in. We end the conversation, we give ourselves some space, and then when we can, in a more rational or calm or clear-minded way, we circle back and continue that conversation with our children. Too often we fear that we've only got one chance to have a conversation, and that's not the case. So when you are met with difficult information or you don't know what to do, please give yourself a break, because that break will allow you to think more clearly and build the relationship that you have with your child. And they will begin to learn that same pattern for themselves. And that teaches them how to become thinkers and processors in a safe and clear way. The final piece I want to touch on today is how we're speaking to our children in general, not when they just come to us with information, but in all of our conversations, are we championing our children? And let me explain what I mean by that thought. Will you think of somebody that you really admire? somebody that you think is good at their craft. Maybe it's an athlete or an artist or musician. But if I was to approach you and ask you about that individual, tell me what it is you love about this individual or why you think they are so great. Would you be able to answer me? My guess is yes. And you wouldn't just say, oh, they're so great. I love them so much. They're just awesome. You would likely be able to give me some very specific reasons and back up your claim. So if it's an athlete, let's say it's a basketball player, if you said, I am a real big fan of whoever, and I was like, oh, really? Well, tell me about that. You would probably be able to bring out some statistics, play time, rebounding average, free throw average, all of the things that qualify them specifically to be great in your mind. So when I talk about championing a child, what I want you to think about is getting to know that child and notice things about that child in a very specific and distinct way, just like you would this basketball player. And we may not be doing statistics, but I want you to be curious and observant. So often we hand kids just fluffy praise, like, you're so great, good job, awesome, that's so fantastic. And while that has its place, and it always will, what we know from the research is that, especially with kids who are struggling with confidence, is that the value of that and the effectiveness of those fluffy phrases drops off real dramatically. And then they begin to doubt and question if your fluffy praise doesn't line up with their assessment. So if they have a rough game or a rough day at school and you're like, oh, you're the best, you're such a good friend, or you did so good out there, good job, and we're just saying it out of habit, they will begin to question and say, that's not what it was really like for me. Why are you telling me that? Just to make me feel better? And it diminishes the trust that they have with us. So I want to give you some things to try and practice as you begin championing your child. Be willing to get specific and notice things about your child. Hey, I saw you helping your sister. I heard you talking to your mom, and when you laughed, it made me smile. I was watching you out there play basketball this afternoon, and it looked like you were having a great time. Those are not labels of judgment, meaning good, bad, you did well, you did poorly. They're just statements of observation, and they are very specific. When we take the time to notice our children and then quietly communicate that to them, and I say quietly mostly if you have multiple kids, because you know as soon as you comment on one child, all the other kids are going to want to hear their comments too. But when you just let them know, hey, you know what? You jumped up and started helping with that dishwasher and nobody even asked you. Thank you. We notice a behavior. We notice something they're engaged in, and we're willing to comment on that. We are championing a child. An example of championing a child might be when you walk into the room and you see a kiddo working on homework. You can just scratch their back and say, hey, I see you working here. When you have a few minutes together and you can say something like, hey, I love these moments we get to be together. Period. That's it. Or when I see you smile, I can't help but smile myself. Thank you for sharing that with me. Those are three different ways that we can champion a kiddo. The fundamental principle at play is be willing to see your child, notice specific details about them, and then communicate to them that you are aware of their existence and their presence and the goodness that they bring into the world. We don't have to label it as good. We don't have to place judgment on it. We just get to comment and share with them. So as we wrap up today, first of all, thank you for being here. I love this opportunity we have to share and learn together. But let's do a quick recap. Use the touch points and greeting points of your day to your advantage. They already exist. Make them count. Number two, pay attention to how you receive information from your children. Number three, our first reaction matters. Lead with curiosity. Connect with heart. The details of conversations and everything thoughts can get worked out, but that initial reaction, even with bad news, is lead with curiosity and connect with heart. And finally, get specific. Be willing to champion your child in a specific way. Get to know them and observe them, and don't be afraid to share those observations with them. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time.